On the next episode of What's Going On with Earl Ingram, we are joined in studio with Earl's producer, Cardi, to discuss what's going on in the city of Milwaukee. Street takeovers. What are street takeovers? What is the city of Milwaukee doing to combat this issue? What are we as citizens, as everyday pedestrians doing to combat this issue? People are losing their lives. Property is getting destroyed. The government's looking to bring the National Guard. Do we really need the National Guard in our city? Find out more on civicmedia.us or wherever you find your podcast. And please remember to like, share, and subscribe so you never miss your favorite episode. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to another edition of What's Going On with Earl Ingram. Today's edition is very special one because I am going to spend some time talking with my producer, Cardi, a young man who's doing some great things, a family man who understands the importance of that, you know, and clearly is doing a great thing with his, you know, married and doing all the things that we wish that most of our young people will do. And what precipitated this discussion is I, without question, am a baby boomer. I'm 71 years of age, born at a time where, you know, we basically elders, very influential in our lives. And, you know, you really, if you stepped outside of kind of the parameters that were set for us, let me be clear. None of us fell down out of heaven. We had issues in our lives as we grew up. And many of us were wayward. Everybody didn't follow the right rules that all the time. I know I certainly had some growing pains. But I want to talk today about a divide that exists between generations. You know, Cardi is a generation, is a millennial generation person. And, you know, Cardi is about the age of my youngest son. They're about the exact same age. And so it's not like I don't know what is going on in that generation. My oldest children are in their 40s, so they're generation X's. They're in their early 40s. And so I know what's going on in their generations because I'm connected to my children, right? They're still my children, even though they're men and have long since, you know, been under the rule of what I thought was important is in their development, like my father and the development and the rules that he set in place for me as a young person. They're different. And I know I understand times are different. And I don't want to come off like a guy who's longing for the old days. It's a new time. And I get that. I had a conversation with my youngest son on the other day. And I asked him, you know, I said, listen, man, you're 37 years old. You know, What are the plans for your life? You know, if you haven't decided, now's the time, because in the twinkling of an eye, you know, once you are looking at 40, you had better have some rock solid plans because your life is going to pass you by. And so I get it. You know, people don't want to be preached to. And this is what you hear. Well, we don't want to be preached to. But what precipitated me wanting to have this conversation with Cardi is many different reasons, but one more so than anything else is we've been inundated in the city of Milwaukee in urban centers all over this nation with something that's called street festivals or something to that of that nature. I don't understand And so Cardi, you know, for people who don't know, let me tell you what it is. 2-3 o'clock in the morning, people gather in the middle of busy intersections. I don't know if it's happening in your community or not, but it's very prevalent in urban centers, major centers all over this nation. And 300 people or more, 200-300 people gather, drinking, driving cars in the middle of the streets recklessly, doing things called donuts, fireworks, just a ridiculous reality that makes no sense whatsoever. It makes no sense to me. And I've been trying to figure out, because what happens is law enforcement, which should be out keeping people safe, is forced to try to deal with this lawlessness that goes on unabated, and they do it at different parts and different places, and there's no way to find out. From what I understand, this is all orchestrated through social media. So, Cardi, first off, man, thanks for, you know, agreeing to have the conversation. And then, you know, what is it, man? What is the street festivals, and why are they doing it?
Well, first of all, thanks, Earl. I appreciate you for having me on the show today. It's a privilege, as always, to be on the show with you. I feel like in regards to the street takeovers or the 3 a.m. antics that are going on in the community, it's more based on social media. It's, you know, they gather, they create, you know, ties with other communities, you know, and they all get together. And I think the main concern is, well, not the main concern, but I think the main focus of is just to have fun and to do something that causes attention so they can be famous, social media famous. It's all about the craze and getting out there, getting that spotlight and being the biggest person on social media so that way they can build their followers up and blah, blah, blah. That's kind of like the main thing.
So this is what I don't understand. People are driving the cars making donuts recklessly. Mm-hmm. People are standing right in the line of the vehicles and endangering the lives of the people who don't have any better sense than to be right up on it. So they don't fear, and common sense doesn't enter into it. It's because social media has consumed them to the degree that they want to be famous. They want somebody to know who they are, and that's the best. That's the only way they can come up with looking to become famous.
That's pretty much what it is. You got a lot of people that do a lot of car racing. They get these hot cars like the RTs, the SRTs, the Nissan GTRs. And what they do is they have these street races. They gather in different communities, whether it's on the north side of Milwaukee, south side of Milwaukee, mainly the south side of Milwaukee. I got a couple of groups added on the pages that I follow on my Instagram page and TikTok and Facebook page as well. And, you know, they post daily and they get people to come out. Large crowds of people in between hours of 11 and 3 a.m., like you said. And the main focus is who has the better car, who has the fastest car, who has the loudest car, what do you have put in your engine, what did you have boosting your engine. And it's about the graphics. And when they use that, they have people that follow their platforms, and that's how they get their social media recognition, in a sense.
But here's what I don't – okay, so young people in fast cars is nothing new.
Correct.
It's always been there since, I guess, the beginning of time that automobiles first, you know, made their appearance. But if you want to be a drag racer, then do that. There are places that you can do that. Pursue that.
All right.
But why do it on the streets and endanger people, everyday people? What sense does that make?
I agree. I feel like it's more about the appeal. They could do it like that. They could have, you know, where they're set up in a organization where they're doing drag races, NASCAR, whatever. but they're not going to get the fulfillment that they want. So what they do is they do it here on the street because they know it's going to be a lot of eyes that are going to be watching. People aren't, you know, recognizing them unless they see that specific car that's out there on the street. Oh, that's so-and-so's car out there. You know, let's tag into his social media. I want to be on his platform. I want to be on his stuff. So, you know, the person does the donuts in the middle of the street. They race the cars down the street. They, oh, I caught this person, you know, fleeing from the police. The cop, you know, chases the person. The person gets away. Social media goes crazy. Oh, my God, look what he did, you know. So that's kind of the feel of why they continue to keep doing it that way, because they know that social media is going to pay them, one, to do it. They're going to have that, you know, the following is going to start to boost up. And then three, they're going to have that status when they're in Milwaukee or wherever, you know, Chicago. They do it all over across the country. Wherever they are, they're going to have that social media status wherever they go. Like, hey, I know this person. This person is the one that ran away from police and blah, blah, blah.
So we just had another insane person who drove through a red light.
Yes.
And killed a mother and her two sons.
Yes.
Because we've got people who are intentionally running through red lights and they're doing this for fame.
See, in that case, I can't kind of get a clear description of what happened, but I felt like that guy was running away from police, ended up getting into a car accident with another driver and injuring the lady and her two sons in regards to that. As far as like the street takeovers, the car street takeovers, they block off the street. So that way they're pretty much, they're impeding traffic. They're not allowing traffic to flow on both ends, and they're cutting off traffic. And then that's when they're setting all those people around there, you know, in a circle, and they're doing their donuts. And then when the police come, they're endangering people, because when they're trying to get out, they don't care. They're just gone. So people are in the way. People might get hit. People might not get hit. It's up to the person to get out the way according to their standards.
So all of it is for fame.
It's all for fame.
So you know, even though they know they're breaking the law, they don't give a rip about breaking the law.
That's the least of their concerns.
Okay, so the real, the one of the real reasons I have such a problem with that is, I'm just going to tell you straight up, man. That's stupidity.
I agree.
That's ignorance. Okay, to be up at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, certainly. You know, people who are doing those things are only concerned about what? Gratification. So they get something out of it, drinking, smoking weed, fireworks. You know, I mean, we're putting on a show. It does not matter, you know, that because they know there's nothing that can be done. There isn't enough law enforcement around at that time of the morning to do anything to stop it. And I will say to you that what they're going to wind up doing is bringing the National Guard. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing people saying, we don't need the National Guard. We don't need any of those things. They're coming into our community and we don't need it. Well, when you look at situations like what is taking place with those things, I got to tell you, man, as a person who thinks and realizes that we have people who have that kind of mindset, that they don't care. We're not talking about a handful of people. We're talking about 200-300 people who gather at these intersections and do these things, never mind that they're disturbing people who are sleeping, taxpaying citizens who need to get up in the morning. They're leaving all sorts of garbage and everything else in the intersections. Mm-hmm. And then they have no shame at all about it. They'll get up and do it the next day. Mm-hmm. And when you tell me that they're doing this, okay, so I understand the guy or the people who organizing it. But what about the people who are there to watch it? They're not looking for fame. If they don't show up, are their lives so, you know, rudderless Because right now, the city of Milwaukee is now going to fine anybody who's watching this $500, and I'm like, yay, okay? Second time, $1,000. I'm like, yay. Because, and I heard somebody complaining about, well, why are they doing? Listen, what you're doing is lawlessness.
Right.
Okay, I get it. You want to be famous. You don't have anything else to do with your life. That at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're doing these kinds of things. What are people supposed to do to prevent this? This has to be stopped in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Well, in my opinion, I'm not going to say the National Guard should come. I think that in talking with the NPA earlier in one of your interviews, I think they need to boost the police force up, train the police officers, put them out there in certain areas around that time frame. And if they want, I wouldn't say the National Guard, just for the simple fact that I feel like that would be more on a martial law type thing. I don't think that we need to have them here because they don't know most of what's going on in the city to combat what's going on with the city. And I feel like that's the reason why the Milwaukee mayor doesn't want them, Chicago mayor doesn't want the National Guard there. Even though the crime is getting to where it's at, I feel like there is better ways of containing it by either shutting down some of the Facebook pages, Instagram pages, doing stuff like that, communicating with them as they're, watching pages, as they do often, on lives or whatever. I feel like they could send people out in those areas where they're heavily trafficked or where they've seen, the incidents happen before, and kind of put like a grid on to let people know, like, hey, we're not going for this.
Well, they're not going to shut down those pages and those kinds of things because people are making money.
Right.
The people who own those sites are making money. Correct. And so we live in a capitalist society, and so money is the king.
Right.
There aren't enough law enforcement officers. People don't want to be police officers. There's short officers in this city. And I really can't blame people who don't want to become a police officer. So is the city supposed to be held hostage? And we're supposed to somehow trust that the people who continue to do these things are going to stop doing them? Or, I mean, what do we do? Police can't handle it. They've clearly stated they can't handle it. I'm not a person who said from the onset that the National Guard should be here. I can't believe that I'm saying I could somehow see a role for the National Guard to be in the city. But as long as the lawlessness that continues to go on in this city, that people can't stop. I mean, 300 people gathered in the middle of the street during the time that people should be sleeping can't be tolerated, and the city can't do it. So what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to wait for the people who continue to do this for sport and play and endanger the lives of so many people until they feel as if we've had enough excitement in our lives, we'll stop? Or are we relying on the cold weather in the winter to bring it to an end?
I don't even think the cold weather in the winter is going to bring it to an end. I think that's when they're going to ramp up. Just for the simple fact that summertime is a hot time, going into fall is the same way, and winter they have the snow to use to do their donuts and all that stuff. I honestly feel like it's not something that the city could actually handle or tackle right now, but I feel like bringing the National Guard is going to be it's going to be a bigger issue if we were to bring the National Guard in. And I feel like if we can do something in the community to kind of put a stop to it, whether putting up roadblocks or like how they're doing right now with the city, they're building all these little dividers, they're putting these little speed bumps and stuff everywhere. If they ramp more stuff up like that, that would kind of shut down more of the street takeovers in certain areas, especially in highly profile areas where they're doing the stuff at, is where I'm saying they should have more of the police force at.
So the concrete barriers that they're putting up all over the city, two things that bother me about that. certainly slows down the traffic.
Definitely does.
For people who aren't breaking the law. And during the winter, when it's time to plow, it is going to be unbearable. We live in an area where we get a bunch of snow every year. And all of these things because we have people who are lawless. Okay? In my opinion, the people who continue to do this, we're trying to do everything within our power to try to combat them breaking the law. Okay? I'm not a law and order guy. I'm just not. I've never been that. But I think that in situations like this, the people who are doing these things, and I can't believe, you know, I'm going to say this. But, you know, hey, man, no toleration for that. Okay? Because you continue to do it. Okay? You know what you're doing is illegal. You know it's not right, but you're going to do it anyway. Why? Because you yourself want to gain some modicum of fame at the expense of the people of the community, man. I'll say it straight up. Those people who are doing those things, who are witnessing those things, hurt our community without question. They cause major damage to our community. And so there's nothing positive that can be said by any of those street takeovers. There's not one thing that anybody can tell me that's positive for those of us in this city who are taxpayers, who are law-abiding citizens, because there's a handful of people whose lives are so horrible and who have nothing going in their lives that they can gather at 3 o'clock in the morning and do the kind of dangerous things that they're doing.
So, question, what do you think would combat the issue with the street takeovers, in your opinion, besides having a National Guard come?
Man, there is nothing else. They've shown now this goes on not just in the city of Milwaukee. This is happening all over this nation because some lunatics, and I'll say it straight up, somehow get their kicks out of this. So there's nothing that tells me that we've got to struggle and try to figure out a solution. This reminds me of 20 years ago when there were young people who had their cars and they would create parades in the city of Milwaukee, and there would be 100 cars.
Traffic.
They wanted people to see their cars. And so the average person who needed to get to work couldn't get to work. And then it's up to the city to figure out a way to try to stop this insanity. And the city struggled and struggled and struggled. And then there are people who say, well, there's nothing for young people to do. So, Cardi, is this one of those situations where young people say there's nothing for us to do? This is why we're doing this?
I strongly agree and I strongly disagree. Reason why I say I strongly agree is because they've taken out so many of the things that we've had here and we don't have a lot of stuff. They closed down stuff. They shut down Water Street around, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, because of the younger crowd, the teenage crowd, Generation Z comes down there and they create chaos. And I feel like a lot of that is being taken away from, you know, there's no more Northridge. You don't have a mall to go to anymore. There's nothing in those areas. So in those areas where there's nothing going on at, that's where they're doing these street takeovers and whatnot. And I feel like with that being said, that's the reason why. But then again, I kind of disagree for the simple fact that there are things that you can do. You can do things better. But is it something that they want to do? No. It's because this is what they're engraved in. It's what gives them the fame. It's what gives them the hype. The girls are coming out. Some of the girls are the actual ones that are racing the vehicles. You see more females driving these supercars and SRTs and Hellcats and Trackhawks and all that, as opposed to the guys doing it. And, you know, when those crowds come out, all their friends want to come out and support them, and fans want to see what's going on, whether they know them or not. They just want to come out and see the cars and see what's going on because it brings that excitement to them. So that's the reason why, you know, to them, they're like, oh, we're doing something for the community. We're bringing a lot of people out. But at the same time, they're right. But at the same time, they're destroying the streets. You know, they're stopping people from getting to where they need to get to. Cars are getting injured. People are getting hit. Just 3 weeks ago, I had a buddy. His name's Sean. He was in a car. He was hanging out the window. He's a younger cat, though. You know, maybe about 10, 15 years younger than myself. And he was hanging out the window and ended up getting whipped around another car that was racing in a 360 doing donuts, ended up colliding with that vehicle, and he ended up falling out the car. Hit his head, ended up going to the doctor, had to get stitches in his head, almost lost his life. So, and his friends were in the vehicle, and they drove away. Didn't even stop to say, you know, what's going on with him, didn't stop to do nothing. Innocent bystander came out of nowhere and helped him up, got him to the ambulance, checked in with him, stayed with him, and his friends just left him.
Well, so first off, you referred to these people as his friends.
Correct.
You know, friends don't do and treat others. This is part of the problem. You know, I for those who don't know, I go around and I talk in high schools to young people, the younger people who are still in high schools, to try to prevent them from heading down the path that many of these wayward and misguided people are going in their lives. Because I've, you know, if you haven't seen it, it just bothers me to no end to see young people sitting on where the window goes up in vehicles, sitting there halfway out of the cars, four people, and even guys driving with their doors open. Just the height of stupidity. I don't know where all of this came from, Cardi, is what I'm saying to you, but it's caught on. And somehow, you know, people can't think independently. It's groupthink. So, you know, and at the root of it, clearly, man, is social media. Because social media has basically taken control over the minds of so many young people in this society. It's not just those in the urban centers, but I live in the urban center, and that's why I'm having a conversation about it, because my generation, we're totally confused. We don't know, you know, we can't trust our own grandchildren and children, because it's almost like some aliens from outer space has come and taken control over their thinking. And it doesn't bode well for the future as long as we have people who are looking at things from that perspective.
I agree. I feel like more of the video games kind of have a play in it too. They're releasing another video game called GTA 6, which is going to be coming out. A lot of the gameplay comes from live streaming, and a lot of the live streaming that people do are car races. And I think they take that virtual world and put it into their actual reality, and they institute that into what they do in their daily lives. And I feel like more of the reasoning behind that has to do with that type of philosophy. Like, hey, you know, if I could do this in a game, I could do it in real life. And if I could do it in real life, then I could live my life like this. And, you know, that's...
So is that one of the reasons why when you're driving down the street and there's some lunatic who comes up behind you and swings around you, mm-hmm, and doesn't understand the dangers, they're swinging, trying to pass you on the right, knowing that that's a parking lane, there's cars parked there, and they're running the risk that they're going to be able to beat you and get in, you know, before they run into the back of a car that's already parked. I mean, this is commonplace.
I've seen it.
Right? And so I ask myself, either these people aren't thinking, they're clearly not thinking, because a thinking person would say, is this worth the risk? Does my life have enough value that I'm not willing to take this risk. What is there to gain by swinging around somebody at 50 miles an hour with a car parked right on the other side? I mean, is that a rush or what?
To them, yeah. They get them where they need to be at. And I think it's not really the fact that they're in a rush. I feel like the reason why they're doing it is because they feel like they're entitled to do it. Like, hey, okay, all these cars are slow. I don't need to obey the traffic laws. Let me go ahead and swing around to the right lane. Or even in some cases, you have people that are making passes in the left lane where you're supposed to be going on to the other side of traffic, crossing the intersection, and people are in the left lane, not making a left turn, but swinging right back into the right lane. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but see, you hit the nail on the head. They feel as if they're entitled, correct. Okay? So what entitles them to that? It's that mentality that I'm entitled. Well, I'd say, well, number one, who are you to think that you're any more entitled than the average everyday person? You're not.
Well, here's the clause. It goes back to that social media status again. Oh, I have 15K followers. I have 100K, 300K followers. I can do this. I can do that. Most of the people that are driving these vehicles don't even have a valid driver's license. But they're purchasing the vehicles, or they're getting these cars, or they're renting the vehicles, and then they're doing these races.
Well, you know, I don't ask me, because I think it is absolutely ridiculous. These high-powered vehicles that they sell on the streets, you know, cars that are so powerful. Man, you know, I get it. I mean, I know I'm Gramps. When a car pulls up behind me and you hear it roaring and it's like a lion and it frightens you because the car is so fast and has so much power that they shouldn't be on the streets. Why do they produce a vehicle that has that kind of power and on the streets? It used to be, I remember as a young man, they used to put something called governors.
Yes, yep.
On vehicles, for the very reason there was a time when young guys were dying a lot, even during my time, who couldn't understand that running the risk of driving recklessly on the streets was risking your life as well as many innocent people. Yeah. But today, the vehicles that they have now are so powerful, especially Dodges.
Yes.
Man, they should not be allowed on the streets. But since they are, and they're selling them, and vehicles that police, you know, the only other car as powerful or more powerful are the police cruisers. Mm-hmm. So once the police...
And that's only in some cases, because most of the time the cops are V6, you know, supercharged vehicles, and, you know, they have the there isn't a governor on their RPMs, but some of the cars, like, they're not keeping up. They just banned the Dodge Durango, which they just came out with, which is a 2026 model. They don't have that vehicle available no more. You could buy it, but if you drive it on the streets, you're going to get fined for it every single time. And nowadays, what the police are doing is they're impounding some of these vehicles, and they're making these cars that they can't afford under the police budget or the sheriff's department budget. And they're taking these cars, impounding them, and then they're turning them into police vehicles, which is giving them the power. Yeah, the upper hand to, you know, combat against the people that are racing these cars and catch up with them. But in certain instances, they can't. They can't even do pit maneuvers because they're going too fast.
Well, I mean, the Hellcats.
Right.
You know, if for people who don't know what a Hellcat is, they named it right. You know, because the sheer power. And what I don't, and here's the other part I don't understand. Those vehicles are super expensive.
Right.
I mean, they're really, really expensive. They should not be allowed on the streets.
And these people aren't buying them. I'm just going to let you know that out the gate.
So how do they get them?
They're stealing the vehicles. What they're doing is there's a term called striker. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that term.
No, absolutely not.
A lot of the vehicles of what they've been doing, if you keep up with there's like different channels, DFW, which is one of the channels. There's another police channel. There's one called Code Blue. Most of the people, what they're doing is they're going out to these dealerships or they're going to people's houses that have these vehicles. They're creating these keys with this key fob and these antenna receivers. And they're finding the circuit to open the doors and to turn on these vehicles. And once they do that, they're taking these cars off the lot, maybe two, three, four, six cars at a time sometimes. And then they're going, scratching the serial numbers off, replacing them, redoing the serial numbers on the vehicles, and then claiming them as their own vehicles. So that's how they're able to get around and drive these vehicles and have them for so long, maybe a couple months at a time, maybe even a year at the most. Haven't seen it, but maybe
They get caught up.
Yeah, before they get caught up and they report it as a stolen vehicle from the lot. Changing the color on them. Just like kids back in the day when they used to take bikes. Hey, that's my bike down the street. You had a red, shiny Huffy. Next day, you know, the car, the bike is black, different pegs on it, different seat cover, you know, and that's what they're doing with the vehicles now.
So, I mean, I know, you know, you can't have all the answers for why people are doing these. You know, the value of their life apparently is limited. Because when you kind of do that, when you steal that vehicle, you already know the outcome of it. You're not going to be able to keep it forever. You know when they finally catch up with you, you're probably going to jail. Mm-hmm. And your life is basically over if you survive, right? If you live long enough, because the car itself will kill you. You'll wind up dying in the car. The power that those vehicles have. Absolutely unbelievable. So when they finally hit something, it's like a bomb went off. But again, man, I don't understand the mentality. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. And I wanted to have the discussion with you because we can't seem to figure this out. And I will say, to those of your generation who are doing these reckless things, most of them have children.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, what kind of example are they, you know, putting forth for their children? They don't even give that a thought.
Yeah, I think in our generation, well, not for me particularly, but for people that are in my generation, a lot of the kids that they have, they watch the parents, obviously, see what the parents have going on. They know social media is a huge influence in their parents' lives and blah, blah, blah. But I feel like the majority of the grandparents and the aunties and uncles are the ones that are watching the kids, where they don't have to come back and show, you know, the children are like, hey, this is how I'm living my life. Kids just find it out because they're on social media. At the age of, what, 5, 3 years old, they give them a cell phone. They're scrolling through TikTok. They're on YouTube. If they see dad or mom's video on there, oh, that's my dad. He's racing the car. That's my mom. But 9 times out of 10, kids aren't even being raised by the actual parents in the household. So you might have a single dad that has kids or a single mom that has kids, and they're just living their life, you know? And then when the kids get older, you know, they don't have that foundation to know their parents like that because they were raised around the grandparents or the aunts and uncles in some cases. And then it doesn't really leave that generation to know what's going on. So then they end up following the same steps as their parents or, you know, the influence of the kids that are around them. And that's how the cycle, you know, tends to follow.
So long term, it doesn't bode well for the future. And I don't know how to turn this around. I think that's the dilemma. Do not know how to turn this around. I don't think there's short of, as my belief and why I go into the schools and have conversations with young people, is that I think it's better to guide young people, young children, while they're children, than to try to address these adults who have clearly, many of them who believe that their lives are important, more important than somebody else's. I think you hit the nail on the head when you said people think they're entitled because of who they are. And that mentality is a mentality that is going to lead our community to a very, very troubling future. not just for those who are doing these crazy things, but for those who come after them. It's that critical a time in our communities. And I think, you know, when we talk about it and go back again about some point in time, people who are lawless and who think that they have a right to be lawless need to really pay the price for the things they do. I have zero compassion for people who are doing these kinds of things. It's unnecessary. It shouldn't be happening. And it endangers far too many innocent people. And the long-term ramifications of the stuff that they're doing is not positive. You say what, Cardi?
Well, I definitely agree with you on that. As far as that is concerned, I feel like it starts with you, with our generation, going into the schools, like you said, and talking to the children and having that sit-down talk with them and letting them know, like, hey, there's better things to do in life than to sit here and cause chaos and ruin your future. Because at the end of the day, it could either go one or two ways. Either you're going to end up dead or you're going to end up in jail. And those are the only two options that you have. There isn't going to be a freedom option or a get-out-of-jail-free card in regards to doing, you know, crazy, illicit, or, you know, just chaotic things in regards to that. You should already have the template in your head. And if nobody gave you that foundation, don't let social media be the influence to teach you to be a bad person. Everybody has their own mind. And if you don't, seek advice from good people that are doing positive things. I mean, there's good influencers. You don't have to go with the bad influencers. So if, you know, there's people like you, there's people like me, there's people that are, you know, outside of us that are, you know, coming up with different ways of trying to, you know, reach the youth and teach them how to do better things in the community, then I feel like those are the things that we need to be setting in stone. Those are the things that we need to be looking into. And those are the things that need to be rooted. And we need to take that to the city and see if we can get support from them in regards to helping out with our communities. But it starts with us, and it starts with teaching our children the right way. And everything else will follow after that, I truly believe.
Well, I will tell you, man, the city is impatient as well as it should be. People in the community are impatient because at the same time these things are happening, the blood of our young people and innocent people is running in the street.
Right.
And so it's hard to have compassion for what is taking place, which endangers the safety of those of us who are doing the right thing. Man, what do you want to say in closing?
I just want to say, man, thank you for bringing me on, man, to have this wonderful conversation with you. I just want to give a message to youth to stay positive, to always keep your hopes up, and to always follow your dreams. Just stay clear of anything that's going to cause you any issues. That being said, that's all I got.
And for those of you who are going to hear this who don't live in the communities that I'm talking about, it is a major issue. It is a major burden. And hopefully, you know, by discussing it and bringing it out in the open, hopefully we can work towards, you know, at least bringing enough people, getting enough people involved in it that we can come up with some solutions. Thank you very much for listening.